This is Offstage and On the Air performance number 580. I think that I am Lisa Sheps, your co-host, and I am joined by a host extraordinaire, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby. In these hot, hot days of summer and COVID-19, we are pre-recording this show. Stay with us.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. On the show today, we have our dear friends with Shrewd Productions. And later on, we'll be talking to folks from a new website called TenGlow. All that with news and views that Nicole and I will talk to around the United States, Massachusetts, the Berkshires, Vermont, and all avenues north. Don't go. Did you recognize that song?
Well, only because we were chit-chatting about it.
No, so yes. Trick question. We don't know what song it is, so there's nothing to recognize. Neither of us know what song we just played. But we are going to be playing something from the Percy Faith musical, The Lightning Thief. And that's what we just heard the whole of.
That's why I was like, we discussed
it. We discussed it. We don't know what it is. This is what it's like in the days of pre-recording during COVID-19. This is very different from the days of COVID-17.
Hey, at least we had a plan.
We did. Checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
I'm here. I'm here. My cousin had a baby.
She did. And this baby was named Lisa. Was this a little male-identified baby or a female-identified baby?
A little male-identified baby. His name is Ryder.
Raider?
Ryder.
Ryder. I know R-Y-R. You, Ryder, gonna miss me when I'm gone. Like that one?
With a Y, but yes.
Okay. Ryder. I like Winona.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, wonderful. Mazel tov, as my people are wont to say.
Yes, very and completely healthy, very healthy, and that's all we can ask for right now. But it was a little excitement and joy in the family.
That is
but
a pretty
bummer on, you know, another thing I missed.
Yeah, well, but still a happy occasion.
A happy occasion, exactly.
So the latest news today, which isn't like it's not stop the presses, but you know, but it is some news. The Tony Awards Committee is starting to like let loose with things that are available. They still haven't really narrowed down what categories are going to happen and what categories aren't going to happen.
I think they have a fishbowl, and each day they pick different stuff out of it, Lisa.
They have determined that My Name is Lucy Barton, the Laura Linney vehicle, A Soldier's Play with what's his name? I just lost his name.
David Alan Greer
and Grand Horizons are all eligible for Best Play. David Alan Greer is indeed considered eligible for Best Performance by an Actor. And Laura Linney is available for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role.
Love Laura Linney.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. So here are, this is a list in no particular order of eligible productions. Frankie and Johnny and the Claire de Lune, that's our girl.
Yeah, it's our man, Terrence.
Moulin Rouge, the musical, which I heard a thing today saying Danny Burstein, who's been nominated a zillion times and never won, is probably going to win. I think there's only two people that are eligible for best actor, featured actor, and that's Danny Burstein and the guy from the Whatchamahaju musical. Why do I have a hard time?
The Lightning Thief?
Yes, thank you. I have a mental block against that show.
I don't know, because I got to tell you right now, like, I love Danny Bernstein, and everybody I knew who saw Moulin Rouge said he was the weakest thing in it.
Yeah, well, he's up for a Tony. So Seawall and A Life, Betrayal, The Height of the Storm, The Great Society, Slave Play, gonna win, right?
Yeah.
Linda Vista, I don't remember that one. The Rose Tattoo, The Lightning Thief, said show that I couldn't remember, can't keep remembering. The Sound Inside, Tina, the Tina Turner musical. Oh, and by the way, the order that I said, no particular order, it's alphabetical. Oh, no. And just as soon as I said that, here comes A Christmas Carol. Not alphabetical.
I think it might be from when it opened.
Yes. Remember. Jagged Little Pill, My Name is Lucy Barton, A Soldier's Play, Grand Horizons. Missing from that list are West Side Story and the other one. Shoot, the other one that's not available. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
No, because it didn't really open. West Side Story and...
Something else that had opened, but it was Scott Rudin. No, West Side Story, Scott Rudin. I forgot. It might be in this notice. I could just take a look at it.
It's not. You'd have to read.
Pardon me?
It would mean you have to read.
Which I don't do very well. I have to be very, very clear and admit that. Oh my. So are you a West Wing fan as much as I am?
Yeah, I used to watch it a lot, actually. I haven't watched it in a long time, to be honest.
You didn't have the reaction that I would have, which is I'm such a West Wing fan. I'm such an Aaron Sorkin fan. And actually, today on Broadway, the podcast I listened to with Matt Tamminini, who was a guest on our show, he is not an Aaron Sorkin fan.
Really?
Not at all. And yet he says he liked the show Sports Night, which also, I have to say, is an excellent show. I didn't watch it for a long time because I don't like sports, but it's really not about sports. It's about this family, this producing family, which is just wonderful. Well, you asked me, why do I ask you about West Wing? Well, the cast of the West Wing is reuniting to do a Zoom reading of a season 3 episode, which the episode is, where'd it go? Hartsfield Landing, which I don't really remember exactly what that one was, but I have a vague recollection of the storyline of Hartsfield Landing, but I can't remember. It's going to be on HBO Max, a service that I do not have, in October. They're going to record it at the Orpheum Theater. It has Martin Sheen, President Bartlett, I would so vote for him, Allison Janney, Communications director. Oh my God, what was the character's name? Oh, darn, I forgot what it was. I'll come up with it. CJ. Rob Lowe, who played somebody. Bradley Whitford, who played somebody else, the chief of staff.
Rob Lowe, the man who doesn't age. That man
does
lives,
not.
He lives in a vacuum and does not age.
And I have to tell you, what a talent he is, in my opinion.
He really. He,
in Parks and Recreation, he was amazingly funny.
But you go back and look at like the Austin Powers stuff and then come and look at him doing, like, he really is all over the gamut. I watched The Outsiders again recently and, you know, he's not huge in it, but it's powerful and he's young. But they're all like this. All these people are like this in this gamut of talent.
Yeah. Yeah. So... but I'm excited about this. I'm going to have to find someone with HBO Max and...
I got it.
You got it. I'm coming to your house. Mm-hmm. We're going to socially distance and watch that.
Not funny. It's something I actually have that you don't.
Well, no, I've been divesting myself of these pay services. And now I have Broadway HD. And speaking of Broadway HD, I believe I have some Broadway HD news in one of these... yes, here it is. We'll just go to that.
Okay.
Michael Urie produced piece of Drew Dodge's off-Broadway hit, The Happy Birthday Song. Happy Birthday Doug, which had played off-Broadway for like 4 weeks before the crisis. And it is being produced by a friend of the show, Michael Urie, directed by Tom Detrinis, and going to be directed by for film by Jim Hansen. It's going to stream on Broadway HD September 24th. It's a one-person show starring Drew Rogge. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing. Do you know how to pronounce his name?
Vosges.
I don't know. I don't know. New York Times called this scorchingly funny. Now, that's a word that's not used enough in reviews.
No, we don't. We don't get scorchingly funny a lot, but I like it.
Scorchingly funny. So I'm very, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Let's see if we can get any kind of synopsis. This show, Happy Birthday Doug, chronicles the 41st birthday of the title character. Drogge or Droge or Droegge plays Doug and all of his birthday party guests, a collection of gay men that includes friends, exes, nightmares, tricks, and even a ghost.
Nightmares. I know.
Imagine my surprise to open up the New York Times, the periodical of record. There was a review, which we don't see reviews that often anymore.
Oh, I was like, I thought when I saw the brief thing come over, I was like, I had to do a double take. I thought I misread something.
And this was a reading of Beth Henley's The Jacksonian. It streamed live last week on Thursday, no longer available. It played through Sunday. This was a new group offstage series, and it was played by Bill Pullman. The leading role, Fred, was played by Bill Pullman. And there was I don't think I have it on this sheet, but there was a photograph in the newspaper of him. And he so doesn't look like himself. You know, whenever I think of Bill Pullman, he's played the president so many times.
Yeah.
I only think of him as the president. So this show played before with this same basic cast. Bill Pullman, Amy Madigan, Ed Harris. Played it in 2013.
Would you really call them a basic cast?
Did I say basic cast?
I thought you said basic, and I'm like, there's nothing basic about
them.
If
I said basic, I mean original cast. So no, it's an incredible cast.
Holy bananas.
So they did this via Zoom. They call this a cockeyed murder mystery in the racist South of 1964. But they talk about the I'll read this is from the review. Ben Brantley. He says, quote, "When I first saw The Jacksonian in its New York premiere in 2013, one of the great spooky treats of Robert Fall's interpretation was watching Pullman, an actor I had long admired for his scrupulous portraits of conflicted Edward Albee characters, cross over to the dark side. And I'm happy to report that 7 years later, confined to an isolating box on a split screen, he is, if anything, even more compellingly creepy." Bum, bum, bum.
Well, I like hearing you read all that. That was cool.
Pretty cool. He said he was skeptical about how it would translate to a socially distant format, but evidently,
seemed like it worked.
He said it worked. He said mainly because it had shockingly visual imagery. Because he said, quote, "This work that opens, after all, with a respectably buttoned down man in a business suit drenched in blood." So let's talk about our first guest. This is somebody that approached me. His name is Tim Sebastian. He is with a new website called TenGlow.
Yeah, this is really cool. I'm so glad he reached out to us and we had this interview.
Me too. And it's kind of a YouTube-y kind of thing for independent artists.
Yeah, it's like YouTube meets LinkedIn, I think. And that's the way he described it was, and then you see it was really good. But let's hear from him.
Yeah, let's listen to the interview right now. Nicole, last week the Zoom machine was broken.
I know, you got it fixed.
I know, I did. So let's hop out of the Zoom machine and see who's there. Shall we?
Yes.
It's Tim Sebastian.
This is exciting.
from 10glow.com. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Lisa and Nicole. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. You're the chief growth officer, the CGO.
I am. Yeah, a little bit of a change from that typical theater title.
Yeah, so before we get into the interview, I just need to know, do Nicole and I need to salute you in any way as we speak?
No, you're okay. You're okay.
I can salute you with a jazz hand.
There you go. I'll take it.
Great. Well, I was very excited to get your email. To explain to our listening audience what 10glow.com is. It's brand new.
Sure. Yeah. So we're a new theater website that was created through the pandemic. And the idea is to promote all types of voices from musicians and actors and writers and basically get their work out there in front of producers and artistic directors and casting directors and agents. And so we kind of, when this whole thing started, we got a group together. We looked at typically when you write a new musical, like how do you get that in front of the people who are the decision makers? And you either had to have an agent or you had to have connections or you had to self-fund it until someone found it. And so we're trying to create a platform that we're calling a mix of YouTube and LinkedIn, but for theater artists that basically lets artists promote their work and get them out there for an artist-specific platform. And gets them in front of the people that can make these decisions.
So that's great. So if I am, let's just say that I've written an original song that's going to be part of a musical, I could just upload a video of either me or somebody else doing that in any way I want?
Exactly. It's literally as simple as that. And we have space for descriptions and obviously a title, and then you can tag it based on category for what it is.
Is it curated at all?
So it's mostly, we're treating it like a social network. So it's mostly anyone can upload. There's no barriers on our end. And then basically the more views and the more likes your video gets, the higher it ends up on our page. And so we have, occasionally we'll do promotions. We'll highlight, recently we've started highlighting BIPOC voices. And so you can opt in. And so we'll highlight on that page, and then we also have a page for editor's picks for some of our favorite videos. And then obviously we're promoting stuff on social and we have a weekly e-blast that goes out that we curate. But aside from that, the website is completely, anyone can upload.
Awesome. I'm looking at the site right now and it's got the most recent things. I will just give folks some of the titles. Hell No from Wishful Thinking, My Stupid Mouth, which is what my sorority name was in college. Rainy Day Light Bulbs, My Absentee Love, and it's got a little picture. You see, definitely it has a social media feel to it. And
I liked all the categories that you had for all aspects of theater, not just the performance aspect and going along and seeing everybody's portfolios. That was really cool. It was really communal all the way around, the whole package, what it makes to make a show.
Right. So it does not have to be performers. If I'm, say, a scenic designer, I could put some stuff up there?
Absolutely. It's all video-based, but you can upload a reel or a set tour or any of that good stuff. So it's really like we're trying to open the door for all theater artists and anyone who works in the performing arts.
So I get that I can upload a reel, but can I upload a fake? Okay. That's my dad joke for the day. So
there you go.
Tell me how this got started. What's like the very, whose idea was it? How did it, because when you look at it, it looks pretty not complete, but
it's robust.
It's robust. Thank you, Nicole mm-hmm. Shiro.
I was wondering, how did all these people like just get on there? It's a good amount of content.
Right, but I want to hear about how the whole thing started.
I can hit both too, because they're all a little hand in hand. Well, I think we can all admit, right, when this whole thing started, we all come from a theater background. We did not expect us to still not have theaters open in most parts of the country. Specifically for the team working on this, we're all mostly New York based, and so we had expected that theater would take a pause for 4 to 8 weeks and we'd move on. But here we are. And so as we all were kind of looking to release that creative energy that we put into theater, we were looking at like ways to do that digitally. And when we started to look at the how you get your work in front of people, we realized there was a gap there. And so it was Daniel Cuny, who is a general manager and the president at KGM Theatrical. He really got this group together, and he pulled people from different different areas of theater. So we have, I come from the company management background. We have people that come from the marketing background. We have people that worked in theater developing websites. And so we've kind of put together a team, and that's really how this got developed. And we initially tried to look at off-the-shelf solutions, because there's a lot of video sharing, like white label video sharing platforms out there. And we realized that nothing was curated for exactly what we wanted. So we actually revisited the drawing board and actually developed this with code, which I can't take credit for. That's way above my head. but we have a fantastic developer who's really run point on this and has been able to get us to where we are. And then in terms of, Nicole, your question, in terms of getting the artists on there, we started reaching out to some of our friends and colleagues to upload initially when we were in like a super closed beta, and now we've spread out and we're still in beta. We're still refining a lot, but we've opened it up to everyone. So now we're starting to see a lot of organic users, which is exciting. So it's nice to, at first we saw a bunch of friends, and now it's nice to see people from all over the country and actually the world on there. So we've started to see growth there.
Great. So I have to speak for the boomers of the world, because that's what I am. I'm curious. So this is another social media platform, which I'm reticent to join, and it's asking for me to sign in. So am I in fear of being, by signing up, what about all the other stuff that typically comes with social media? Like, am I going to be bombarded with ads? Am I worried about my own personal data?
So great question. I'll start by saying you don't have to create an account to watch any videos. So we encourage it. If you want to create an account, it allows you to comment and like videos, which is a key component, but anyone can view you without making an account. We don't operate like a Facebook or a Twitter where we're taking that data and tracking you. And it's not, we don't have the ad technology where when you're in a conversation and you're talking about trips to Cancun, and then all of a sudden you're hit with ads. And so we're looking to, we haven't fully hit the ad phase, but we are, at some point we will advertise on the site, but we're hoping to have more of a curated experience than that typical social media experience.
Well, it certainly is a lot of fun. I'm going to put you on the spot. How familiar are you with the current content on there right now?
I'm on the site a lot, so I hopefully, yes.
And the reason why I ask is, if I wanted to play something to our audience, could you recommend something on your site that we could play? I would assume something musical that we could play as a musical selection?
Let me pull up. I would say one of our favorite performers is Kyla Wooten.
How do you spell that? Wooten?
Yep. And then Kyla is K-A-I-L-A.
Oh, I got it. I'm already there.
Perfect. And I would, why don't we do Daylight Savings? That's one of my favorites. It's an original song she wrote for a musical she's developing.
Perfect. Well, we'll play that as we leave this section. So that's
perfect.
Awesome. So, okay, let's say I'm a performer and I want to upload something, or I'm a designer and I have a slideshow of my beautiful costume designs. How would I go about getting that up on your site?
Sure. They can go over to 10glow.com, and it's 10, the number 10, 10, and then glow, GLO.com.
Awesome. And then get all the information there. So what does 10 glow mean? Where did that come from?
That's where I was about to say, where does that name come from?
It's a good question. It's like,
so far, I just like want to, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to just notate that so far I've had two good questions.
The questions have been good.
Fire this week, Lisa.
Yeah, there you go. 10 glow, really, it comes from like 10 minutes of glory, like 10 minutes of content. And the idea is like it's bite-sized content. So, but it's kind of up for interpretation. So, but that was the idea behind it.
Awesome. Well, Tim Sebastian, thank you so much for coming on. I hope to have you on in a year or so when you're a huge, you are hanging out with Zuckerberg and all those people, and you'll still come on our show.
I would love that. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Waiting for my days to begin with the sun streaming in through my window and lighting up my face. I keep hoping that the show will slow down, that my dreams stick around so my pillow can hang out on the front end of my bed for a little while longer. Cause it's just the daylight savings giving me the blues, and the only thing that can make it better, it seems, is waking up next to you, waking up next to you, waking up next to
Tim Sebastian. Rock on. He is, I'm going to actually create an account and we are going to put this video, the video of us, the Zoom video of us doing this onto the TenGlow site.
So exciting.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you. With all these miles we're racking up in our Zoominator, do we get frequent flyer miles somewhere? Do we get perks?
The program that Zoom has for frequent flyer miles is called Zoom Toots. Well, we have to take a break.
We're cracking ourselves up today.
We are. We're funny. Let's take a break, shall we? And we'll come back later.
Okay.
Toot, sweets, toot, sweets.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. I was going to make her say it, but she just took a sip of her coffee. All right, I have a couple of things that I want to talk about still of national import before we move on to what's going on locally. Three more plays have been given the nod from Equity. Did you see that?
I did see that. I didn't read, I only half read this article because I was in the middle of something else. So let's.
What I find interesting about this article is they said that the crux of it was, these are the first three plays that are being allowed to be done. And I went, well, wait a second. We have those two plays in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And then go on to read is they were the first three plays to be allowed to be done indoors. And that's not quite true either, because the One Person Show was approved to be done indoors, but the city wouldn't let them. So they moved it outdoors. But nonetheless, so these are three nonprofit theaters in New England that has very few cases of the virus. It's the Weathervane Theater in the White Mountains region of New Hampshire. You can't get there from here.
I had an aunt who lived in Nashua for a while.
And then Music Theater of Connecticut is doing a one-man show. And the Northern Stage in Vermont is doing a one-woman show. Here's an interesting thing. It says Equity's been flooded with 127 requests. I'm surprised it's only that few. I would have expected to be a lot more.
I was just about to say, it feels like that would be a lot more.
Yeah, but to be fair, in order to meet the standards, it's a really high standard you would have to meet, and it's very expensive. One of the standards is not complete seating. So I mean, they're all 25% or so of their seating. So you can't. So revenue's got to be down to enable to do it. They have to do frequent, quick testing, 48 hours. Testing. They have to do social distancing on stage, and they have to modernize their HVAC systems. So all of that is very expensive. It's a lot to do.
So it's a lot to do, and it's another added cost.
Well, that's what I meant when I said a lot to do. That's precisely what I meant.
Well, it's physically a lot to do. Besides,
yeah, but again, if you have the money, it's not as difficult. So the New Hampshire Theater, the Weathervane Theater is the one that's not doing one-person shows. They are doing a comedy called The Miracle on South Division Street. They are doing a show that, what?
I love the title.
I like the title too. You suppose it takes place in Chicago?
Yeah, I think it's a play on a lot of things. That's why.
Oh, maybe. And then they're doing your people's musical review, The World Go Round.
The World Goes Round. Candor and Ebby.
Candor and Ebb. And then they're doing Little Shop of Horrors. They have a 266 seat theater and they are selling 44 seats. Furthermore, for the musicals.
Sure, that's an interesting one to do social distancing because you're inside a plant. But okay.
Well, that's exactly what they said. They said they've got some interesting challenges in that they've got to work out the plant stuff. And also they have to work out, what was the other section that they needed to work out? There were two sections that they
the dentist?
The dentist scene, yes. Both of those are very non-socially distant. So they've got to work those out. But here's an interesting thing. The band, the orchestras will have no wind or brass instruments because in theory that will spread the disease. In Norwalk, they're doing, in the Music Theater of Connecticut, they're doing Fully Committed, which I just love that that show. That was done here with one Martin. Why did I lose his last
Martin
name?
Burke.
Martin Burke was wonderful. And then Northern Stage in White River Junction, Vermont, is doing a show called I'm Fine, I Fine, which is an autobiographical play about career-ending soccer concussions. So a couple of things happened that there was a Sightlines magazine came out today. I'm not looking at the article in front of me, but I believe they said one third of the arts community has been hit hard by this COVID crisis.
Yes.
And there was an article, and I don't know. Oh, you know what? Because I cut and pasted this.
California and New York. That's what's crazy.
Okay, you, I couldn't hear you because I was talking. So say that again.
That Texas is the third state in loss after California and New York.
Right. And I think that's true. So Houston's created, and I don't know what. I don't know where this came from because I cut and pasted it and I didn't put the, shame on me. Houston's creative economy has lost tens of thousands of jobs, nearly $2 billion in sales. The creative industry's lost more than 42,500 jobs, according to the Brookings Institute. And then 40% of creative industry job losses came in the performing arts. And this is Houston we're talking about. Yeah. And these are huge numbers.
Huge numbers. I think.
This came from the Houston Public Media.
Hmm? Yep, that's what I was just about to tell you. Is Houston Public Media is where I saw it.
Yeah, I just said that. And then what I found interesting is it said Houston City Council approved $2 million in relief funding. And it says artists can apply for grants of up to $1,000 and organizations can receive $15,000. Well, Austin did better.
I saw that and I was
It was 2000. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said I saw that and I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well. So kudos to Austin. Speaking of our Austin little thing, our next guest is a local Austin theater company, Shrewd Productions. It specializes in theater for and about women.
I know.
And we were able to talk to them about the current project, which I'm not going to say anything about right now, but because it's really exciting and very different. Very different, I think.
Very.
I will say this. Well, you know what? I'm going to hold this comment for after the interview. Let's just listen to it.
Hey. Nicole, I know there are going to be some cool people outside the Zoom machine today.
Cool. Who do you think it is?
I don't know. Do you want to guess?
Cool people.
Cool people. Let's open the door and find out.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's the Shrewds. I can't believe it. We have Shannon Grounds, artistic director, founder of the Shrewds, Shrewd Theater Company. Shrewd. Shrewd Productions,
right?
And then we have a group of folks that are working with her on Letters from Camp Shrewd. We have Krista Gonzalez. Hi, Krista.
Hi. Yeah.
Waving doesn't work on radio.
Yeah.
Raina Hardy. Hi, Raina.
Hey there, Lisa.
And Trey Deason.
Well, hello.
Hello. Well, we have, you know, we have offstage and on the air veterans all.
Yes.
That's so good. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys about it because when Shannon told me about this project, I was thrilled. And before we give away what it is, I think we all know, all our listeners know that people for theater since COVID-19 have started, have been doing Zooms, have been doing pre-recorded pieces, smaller pieces. We just had Salvage Vanguard did a drive-in. Everybody's trying to find a way to do theater in the age of COVID. And I think, Shannon, you have found the most unique way. Can you tell us about it?
Well, it was really an idea born from Ann Hulsman. She was the first one to come up with the idea that we should do something by mail. She thought that people would really appreciate having something tangible that they could hold on to because everything's digital right now and everyone's kind of in digital overload. And she just thought that that would be cool. And I kind of took her idea and ran with it and decided that they were campers stuck at camp.
So I want to stop you for just a second. I'm not familiar with that term that you used. You're going to do it by what?
Mail.
Mail.
Yes.
Is that because you're going to have some guys doing it?
The United States Postal Service will
United States Postal Service. And God knows we need to support them right now. So so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you, but I've been holding on that joke for a while. So keep going.
I kind of came up with the framework. I wanted there to be four campers. I wanted it to be a mystery that unraveled over 6 weeks. And then Raina Hardy, our showrunner, took it and ran with it and came up with a story idea. And Krista and Trey and Brian Daniel Oglesby joined us as playwrights, and they are all writing the letters.
So how long was this time period of correspondence between writing letters?
You mean how long? Well, I'm going to let Raina answer that because she is, as I said, our showrunner, and she kind of started to spearhead the whole thing once I passed it off to her, which was great.
You are the Norman Lear of this show.
I mean, that's I didn't know that it was going to be a front-facing term for me. That was just something I was going to mention in meetings, as opposed to anyway. But I don't understand the question. how long is it between having the idea and writing the letters?
I mean, like, how long was the I mean, you're sending letters in mail. It's obviously taking a long, you know, how long was the process in sending the letters and back and forth and the time?
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay. So, like, we've gotten all of the letters written, at least the rough drafts. We're going to make some edits to them and, like, get them done so that going forward over the 6 weeks, the letters will be ready and the story that they tell will kind of lock together. So basically every week the letters are going to go out. There's four different story tracks that you'll be assigned randomly. So you'll get to view the story through the camper who's writing you letters, if that makes sense. And it's like a 6 week experience. So every week you get a letter from your camper in the mail that you get to open and they'll send you, you know, there's artifacts as well. So they've really gone in to make it like a fun tactile experience. So that's not just like this frictionless digital thing. It's something like special that you like get to keep and like read and open, which I think is super exciting.
Awesome. Before we go into some more of the details, I just wanted to see what everybody's role is. Raina, we've learned that you are the showrunner. Krista, what is your role with the show?
Yeah, I'm writing a set of letters for one of the campers. The camper that I'm writing is kind of the prankster. Likes playing practical jokes and torturing everyone nicely.
Do you have a name for this? Does this person have a name that you can share?
Yeah, Benji.
Benji.
Yeah.
And Trey, what about you?
I'm writing my camper's name is Kayla. She's a very smart knowledgeable, perhaps presumptuous at times, but very, very lovely young lady who I think rose during the 6 weeks at the camp.
So I think this is such an awesome idea. Yes. How old are these campers? I'll take Benji's anybody can answer that.
Benji's about 15.
Is it a theater camp? Is it like whatever that theater camp that that Anna Kendrick was in?
It is not a theater camp.
I wish.
Some of them might wish it was, for sure.
All right, so someone take me through the experience for an audience member. What is my experience as concisely as you can?
Okay, Rain is not jumping in, so I'll do it.
go, Shannon.
You will start by getting a notification from Camp Shrewd that they need to quarantine the campers for a little while longer. The camp has been extended, and that will be your signal that the show has started. And then you will start to receive letters from your camper. You'll receive them once a week, roughly, given a day or two, you know, because we can't control the postal service, but it's been still pretty reliable, I think, locally. So I don't think that's going to be a problem.
I believe we still have our sorting machines.
Yes, we still have our sorting machines. And you'll get souvenirs from camp and, you know, some clues to the mystery. And each different character also has some of their own specific artifacts specific to their personality. And then premium subscribers are also, throughout the course of the play, going to get access to all the campers' letters instead of just one story track, as well as getting a very groovy Camp Shrewd t-shirt.
That is awesome. So there's a mystery involved.
Yes. How do you solve the mystery?
I wouldn't say, I don't want to, you know, there's mystery and intrigue. It's not going to be that kind of like serial, you know, like, can you debate what's happening one way or the other? But I think it's a way of seeing the story unfold.
There's some page turners here and some stuff. Yeah. We're gonna want to wait for that next letter to get the next.
There's mysterious stuff happening, and we have to get to the bottom of it. And you'll certainly get to the bottom of it and know more easily if you happen to have access to all of the letters.
And what kind of tchotchke am I gonna get? Am I gonna get some macaroni art?
Secret.
It's a secret. I am so excited about this project. I can't tell you. I mean, I'm a little giddy about it because there's just so much. It's a great idea. So again, I'm going to go back to the audience experience. I don't know if audience is the right word, but as user of it, it sounds like it's a month and a half long experience that I'll have.
Yeah, it's a 6 week experience. And then there's also going to be a podcast that we're hoping to have ready in time for Halloween. And each of these campers has actually also been assigned a company member who's an actor that will be portraying them. So Jesus Baez is playing Benji, Melissa Quiles is playing Kayla, Anne Hulsman is playing Camp Counselor Jennifer, and Taylor Flanagan is playing the character written by Brian Daniel Oglesby. And Raina, correct me if I'm wrong, did he name her Taylor?
Yes, although Taylor gets a lot of different nicknames in the various letters. We're sort of inferring that it's Taylor because sometimes it's Tay Tay and sometimes it's T.
So how do we see our actors in this case, or how do we interact with the actors? Great.
They'll be performing the podcast.
Okay. Awesome. So the podcast is less a podcast and more like a radio drama.
Yes.
They're doing it in character.
Exactly. And they will also, I mean, they'll be involved in creating the actual physical letters that we will then produce. So they're all going to be very unique to the personalities of the campers.
Well, that is great. And so I would see so many different opportunities for different types of stationery, different handwriting, different pens that I would use. Do you have, is there a design staff that's putting together the look and feel of the pieces?
That will be a collaboration between the actors and me. I am the graphic designer on staff.
That's great. Now I have to say that, I have terrible handwriting. If you were to see something that I would write, you would say, oh, that must be from some guy named Gus, not a little tiny wallflower named Louise. What do you do if you don't have like the handwriting that might go with what people stereotypically think of that character? Does it matter?
I don't know that it necessarily matters. But we have a variety of, I have a variety of tricks up my sleeve for, you know, changing the look and feel of those letters if I need to.
Well, awesome. So let me ask you this, because this is a medium that I've not had any experience in. What question haven't I asked you right now that you're dying to answer?
Gosh.
Well,
Brandon, do you want to talk about memory ghosts?
So I think that, well, I don't want to give away all of my secrets, man. I think it'd be fun to talk about like the process of writing it a little bit, for all of us writers. So this was pretty exciting. I think I was pretty busy this fall and so was everybody, but we just really wanted to be involved in this because it's such a cool concept. Everybody, you know, as soon as I sort of posted it on my social media, as soon as we announced it, everybody was like, wait, I can get letters in the mail to tell a story? Oh my gosh, I want to do that. You know, it just excited people so much. And it excited me as well because it's such a unique way of telling a story. So at first I was like, oh, I don't have time to do this. I have to say no. And then that night I was like, actually it was the next morning, I like got up and I was like, oh, this is the, I'll just let myself think about it for a little bit. And then I came up with a basic outline for the story, you know, that day. And I sort of fell in love with it and really, really wanted to do it. I was so, so lucky to get the playwrights that I did to come on and be willing to kind of create characters who could utilize that framework. I tried to make it something that would give people, I might've put in too much plot in retrospect, but I really wanted to give people lots of freedom to make characters that they could really make their own. Which, because within the, there's sort of the broader plot framework that I wanted to set up. And then within that, like each camper or counselor, my character that I actually wrote the letters for is the camp counselor, Jennifer. Within that framework, the campers are writing to somebody they love. So that person that they're writing to becomes part of the story and you really get to know them as people. They all have really unique lives, really unique perspectives, really unique voices. And I think that's part of what makes it super, I'm like jealous of people who get to do it. You know, because I can't. Like, even if I went and like paid to have Shannon send me the letters, I would already know what was happening. So I'm super jealous of anybody who actually gets to do this.
Well, so awesome. I don't know if you could hear the horns in the background, but that's the Zoom machine telling me that they need to shut the door. So we're almost out of time. Where can folks go to get information about participating in this awesome project?
shrewdproductions.org,
and they can get all the information there. Does it kick off at any specific time?
Yes, we do need people to register for camp, as we like to say, by September 15th, so that we, you know, we can start the engine going.
Perfect. Well, that's that gives them 2 weeks to figure out things, and they can get more information by visiting your website, shrewdproductions.org. Well, Krista Gonzalez, Raina Hardy, Trey Deason, and Shannon Grounds, thank you so much for coming back to Offstage and On the Air.
Thank you.
For you.
And I will be looking for my letters from camp.
Yay!
All right, bye.
Bye.
Lovely interview with the Shrewds.
It was awesome.
I love talking about Shrewd Productions because you only refer to them as the Shrewds.
It's kind of fun to say, isn't it?
It is. I wish Ground Floor Theater, I wish you could call us the GFTs.
Why not? You can do whatever you want.
Maybe we will. I'm going to take my theater and go home.
You know, We can change it. We'll do it.
We can. So, do you watch Bill Maher's show, not politically incorrect, Real Time with Bill Maher? He does a thing called New Rules, and he has his big rant at the very end of the show. Usually I like it a lot. This time it was about the U.S. Post Office and how he's saying that for the next 2 months, we should all stop using the post office so all of its resources can go straight to voting, which I thought was interesting. And the only reason why I mention it is here is because that flies in the face of the Shrewd's letters from camp.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Interesting idea. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but that's par for the course. So I want to, before we go away, and we may or may not have time for this. If you're listening to this, guess what? We had time for it. So there are two Hamilton things. And this is why I'm just throwing it at the end, because we get inundated with Hamilton. But there was a wonderful YouTube video, and I'm surprised I didn't see it. Adam Savage, who used to do Mythbusters, does a series of these YouTube channels, and I forgot what it's called. But he did a series of episodes at the San Francisco, I think it's the Orpheum, don't know the name of the theater, that Hamilton was sitting down in. And he did this thing with the A2, about the custom microphones made for Hamilton. And it's amazing. I would encourage folks to click the link at offstageonair.com. The A2, and the A2 is the second audio person. And so this is the person that operates all the wireless mics and things that are down on the stage. But it talks about so much interesting stuff that I didn't even know. And I'm in a business where I should know stuff. And her name is Andriana Brana. Well worth watching. He also does a thing where he looks at the mixing of the music down with with the A1, the first audio person. Well worth seeing.
Very cool.
I learned a lot. I may have to watch it again.
I'll check that out.
And the last thing, the last piece of Hamilton news, this is something I should have said. I saw this like 3 or 4 weeks ago, but I haven't said anything. There is this person, his YouTube channel is Ye Old Bard, did a side-by-side of Helpless and Satisfied together. This is a retelling. People will know that Satisfied is the story of the meeting of Alexander Hamilton and Eliza from Eliza's standpoint. And then Helpless is told later, and it's told from Angelica's standpoint. And has all these freeze frames and all this crazy stuff. Well, they put them side by side, and you can see that in the two numbers in the show, that like the choreography is exactly the same, and it is incredibly well synced. I mean, that's incredibly cool. Well synced. There will be a link to this on offstageandontheair.com. It will be worth seeing. And I will say this, that if we didn't have time to play this week, I'm going to play this next week because it's worth seeing.
Yeah, that's cool.
So... that's the show.
Bum, 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 bum,
what's a good song to go out with?
Grand Canal from Nine.
We're going to play Grand Canal from Nine as we go away. See you, folks. This has been Offstage and on the Air. Bye.
Bye.
This is the Grand Canal. This resemblance to life is not a skill. It is filled with the milk of human kindness.